1 Peter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This morning, as we continue with our discussion of heaven, using Dr. Donnelly's studies as our framework, we should consider one of two primary aspects of heaven on a very personal level. The first this week is our consideration of death. The second one next week, Lord willing, is our personal time with Christ. These two elements comprise much of the manner in which we see and understand what God has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is as God calls us out of darkness into the light of heaven, Jesus Christ, that we can show forth his excellencies on this earth. As such, both of these areas must be dealt with in our hearts and in our minds in order for us to know the reality of what heaven means in a very personal manner in our lives. First, then, our view of death reflects the certainty of our knowledge of heaven. A fear of death indicates an incomplete understanding of what heaven truly means and holds for us. Death is not something to fear. It is not something to cower before as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Quote, to understand that Christ is central in heaven is of great value for us here and now, for it makes the world to come more comprehensible and attractive. That we will be with Jesus is far and away the most important truth about our future destiny. End quote. As the Apostle Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 8, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. It is on the basis of our complete understanding of heaven, our being eternally with Jesus, that we can look death in the face and not flinch or waver in our hope of salvation. While we do not seek death, since we are here to do the good work as God reveals it to us, nevertheless, we are to have no anxiety concerning our physical death. We are to stand in the truth that we are in God's hands, eternally secure. In that truth, we look at death as did the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our physical death means that we are immediately in the direct presence of Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, friend, and brother. It is an end to the fleeting agonies of these earthly bodies and the glorious reality of our physical and spiritual perfection in Him. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist, as you will see, had a good perspective of God's faithfulness over death as we read throughout the Psalms. Psalms 33:18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in Thee. And in Psalms 56:9 through 13, Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I trust. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. There is an assurance expressed that is to be the very core of every believer, as we read in Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, Selah. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. In Psalms 102, 18 through 22, we see the victory of Jesus Christ over death foretold. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death, that men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. As well, we read the following in Psalms 107, verses 13 through 15. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. The psalmist also shows us how we are to deal with the earthly terror of death, which can so easily beset us. This is at the center of our seeking after God, to reveal his heart of glory in heaven unto and into us now on this earth. Psalms 116, 3 through 9. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We are reassured by our Lord Jesus Christ in John 8:51 that death no longer has mastery over us. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. The Apostle Paul has so very much to say about the fact that death no longer is to be feared because of the tremendous and glorious work of Jesus Christ, unto whom we are brought at the instant of our earthly passing. It is because of his death and resurrection that death is no longer our master or our enemy. It is because of Christ's perfect work that death has no power over us and is no longer to be feared. Romans 5, 8 through 11 and 18. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. And he continues in Romans 6, 3 through 11. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It is on the basis of this assurance that we have life in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2. The sting of death is no longer ours to bear. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. This leads so wonderfully to the end of our absolute fear of death in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Our complete confidence rests in the life of Jesus Christ. It is because of Him that we can so fully look at death no longer as a curse, but as merely the release from that curse over these earthly bodies. Death is not the end of life, but the transition into the full reality of the life that is already at work in these mortal bodies through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 36 through 39. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. As our lives on this earth are to be the living witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ, so also is our earthly death the witness of the power of God wrought in His only begotten Son. To be so means that we face the end of this earthly time with a joy and an assurance in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7-14. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. In the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the Apostle John offers several encouragements for us. As we read in Revelation 1:17-18, as John records, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Jesus holds the keys of death and of Hades. He is the omnipotent one, and since we are in Him, He will hold us and protect us from harm. It is in Him that we base our assurance against the power of death. And in Revelation 2:10-11, Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And in Revelation 21:3-5, we hear of the faithfulness of the power of God toward us who believe. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Once again, it is the Apostle Paul who writes so encouragingly to us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. He gives great detail as to what will happen when the Lord returns for His own. You and me and all those who have gone before and will come after us. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There is great detail in this passage about the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the rising of the dead in Christ, and meeting the Lord in the air. Then the apostle concludes with the very simple, yet all-encompassing finale. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We expect some great detail about heaven, yet nothing more is needed. We have it all in the fact that when we die, we will always be with the Lord. It is the reality of heaven which takes away the fear of death and in which we comfort ourselves. So be it. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen.